You're tuned in to CICK 93.9 FM Smithers Community Radio. This is River Reads with host and narrator River Wild. A story hour where those of all ages can escape into bedtime stories and fairy tales, new and old, but mostly old and at times macabre, or silly, or even perhaps a little confusing, as written in Old English, and the host sometimes fumbles the odd word, or two, or few. And then there's those stories whose premise or message has aged poorly. But let's face it, you can't be picky when you're dependent upon copyright-free material available through Creative Commons. So, if you enjoy a narrated story, find a weird tale, let's begin.
River Reads is not a kids' show, but is not a kids' show. Listener's discretion is advised.
Live in studio, and I'm not even awake yet. You get to wake up with me. Because it's that kind of time. We are here doing a special show for CICK's Membership Drive Week. Whoop, whoop. So, of course, you know, we're a nonprofit, and we rely on the generosity of our fine listeners and the community members. So if you're feeling like you want to keep supporting some of this wonky-doo programming and just help support all the stuff that we do, CICK does for the community, this is the time. Give us a call in. Give us your money. Give us your membership. And we give you presents and joyfulness and all of that. And I'm going to get to read you stories today while all this is happening, I think. I think that's what I'm going to be doing. I'll be reading a story or two. All right, so I got this paper in front of me. Let's see what we got here. Okay, so last year's membership drive, we got to get a toilet in the train, so we get to poop in the train all year round. I get really excited about that. Not that I actually have done that yet in this train. Going too intimate. Okay, pulling it back. But this year, the funds are going towards something we're going to be calling the CICK Speakers Corner. Drum roll, please. And of course, I'm in here in the station with my fine accompanying tech person, Megan, my sibling. Thank you, Megan, for helping me out today. We're also here down at the market. It is Saturday morning, so there may be things and noises and people coming and going, but we're going to wrangle on and keep on going. So again, Speaker's Corner for that portable custom phone booth. So we're pretty pumped about it. Right now it's in a garage, sitting there getting its love on, getting itself ready. And soon it will be revealed. But first, we need your money. So, you know, give us your money. It's $25 for an individual membership. And we also, hey, for those that have large families but still want to participate, it's a $60 membership. And this is, again, immediate family and under 18 years. We do give extra swag for the family packages. And, of course, we have introduced a few of our longer-term big spenders. So there's the individual lifetime. That's a $400 specialized swag item for you. And we also have the family lifetime. So again, if you want to have your whole family be included in this, this is a perfect opportunity. For $600, you get the special swag item for you as well. And we also have organizations. So this is $150 for organizations, and you get up to 3 swag packages. And there is another membership, but I'll get to that one later. It's our special, special, special one. So again, if you're interested in becoming a member, give us a call right now. We are answering phones live in studio. If we only have one person on the phone, so if there's like a rush for people, just know, maybe call back or leave a message if the answering machine is on, and we will give you a call back. So again, give us a call if you're interested in 2508478769. Again, that is 2508476769. And you also can purchase online. Maybe you just want to sit back and enjoy the stories and give us your money. So if you want to sit back and enjoy the stories while giving us your money, you can do that online at smithersradio.com. And just go on in there. And what is the tag for that one?
Membership.
It's membership. That makes it super easy. You just get to go in and click membership, and then it'll lead you that way, and you can go from there. Of course, we're also here in person, so if you're just itching to get your membership done and you want to give us cash, We'll take that cash today. We're here between 10 and 11 a.m. A little bit after that, but we're going to be doing other stuff after that time. So come before then if you can. That would make our life much more appreciative. All right. Oh, I also, because we're doing this live in studio, I have some fun. Well, I don't know if they're actually fun. Many sounds. So these are different sounds that we have today. How's that for levels? And then we got like this little guy. And then we got this guy. Ooh, scary snake. And then we got this one. That took a bit of levels. And it took my skill that I apparently don't have. So we might just, I don't know, we might stick with my kazoo. I really like my kazoo. That was a lot of fun. Oh, and because we're doing this in studio, I don't have any, like, I do have them, but I'm not going to bother with them, so just know this. We're not going to be doing the warnings, my River Reads rating system, so just know, assume, and some of these I haven't even reread, so just know, assume everything is horrible, deplorable, offensive, death and destruction, animals may be destroyed. Just know today it is listener beware. They're probably pretty tame, all of them. But just know, I just haven't done my usual hello ahead of time. And there won't be any tune back in because I don't even know how long these stories are. So, I mean, I'm just really winging it today. And I also might be recording, just to give myself a voice break, I might do some of my older pre-recordings at some point, which I might get my sibling. Actually, before I do that. Oh, did you have something? Something in studio?
Yeah, I just want to, hi everybody, it's Megan Brady here. Shout out to Kimber, who's listening online. Shout out to Alf Brady in the Kispiox Valley. And Brennan Anderson just popped his head in, and I wanted to say hi to him too. Hi Brennan, we love
Brennan
you.
Hey Brennan Anderson, welcome to the studio. You take it. Okay, because before I start reading, I do want to get a story ready, because I realize my brain is going to just...
Why don't I do some talking?
Perfect, you do the talking. Here,
okay.
There's some more talking.
I'll do some
points.
Talking here while River is getting themselves together. There we go. Well, actually, I do want to point out that there's some other great programming happening.
Wait,
this
make
week
sure my computer's turned down.
Oh, I will turn that down. Okay. Thank you. So if you're a regular listener, you're going to catch us many times talking about the membership this week. And if you're not, and you're kind of just new to this, I highly suggest tuning into some of these other programs. So tomorrow afternoon, evening, 5 p.m., Outside In is actually going to be broadcasting outside the train studio. And sorry, we just had a guest come into the train.
If they're giving us our money, really I don't loud. Mind.
But yeah, exactly. Let's sell a membership while we're at it. And then on Monday, we've got I Digress, and they're going to be broadcasting live from the lounge car, live from behind the drum kit. And I Digress is 3 p.m. on Monday, followed by a special presentation by Face for Radio at, 5 p.m. on Monday. And what other thing? So it's kind of nice, like home programmers are able to come into studio and put on a special show for us, do something a little different, mix things up. And then other actually, so Vina is...
Just
she
you know,
was,
you
was,
talk, you're talking really fast. I'm just going to... I'm bringing us
early.
It
slow.
It's early morning.
It's the morning. I'm not even awake.
Early morning. That's just the coffee running through their blood like
yeah,
a
that's all that's keeping
lightning
me going. Okay, good. I got time?
You got time.
Okay, perfect. In that case, I was going to say, Vina was going to actually take a little break from us, give herself a little break. And she's been home producing throughout the pandemic. And she's going to come in for her first live in studio show on Tuesday at 11 a.m. What are some other ones? So Thorium Sericulture said they're going to do something a little special for us. And that is at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. What else? Yeah, we basically have something going every day. So Wednesday the 26th, the Ev Ali show is at 3:30? Might be 3. 3 or 3:30. I will admit I'm not 100% on that. And then we've got Thursday the 29th. This is like the week leading up to Midsummer, hey? So I know lots of folks are busy, but we're going to be putting this on. And then if you buy your membership, you'll be able to pick up your membership package at Midsummer, We're hoping to have our booth set up where we have before by the main stage. And yeah, so folks can come by and pick up their special swag. So the last couple that I know are The Abyss is going to do a show. And that's 7 p.m. on Thursday evening, followed by Nerding Out with Laura, which is Friday at 11 a.m.
Yeah, so you got lots of stuff going for you. Got lots of stuff going for you. So that's some exciting stuff for us this week. So you also said trying. I don't know if they said that because I wasn't actually listening. But I think they might say we're trying something new this year. You know, we have done call-outs in the past, and we still might do some call-outs. But we're also saying, hey, why not call us this year? We'd love to hear your voice. We haven't talked to you in a year. Give us a call. Touch base with us. Okay, I think I'm ready for my first story. And we're doing it. I said, do it. And then I'm going to sit here and read. And maybe we'll wake up together. Who am I kidding? You guys have all been awake for hours. Well, it doesn't seem to matter at this point. I just have the sexy voice happening here. So just, I'm going to do some drinking sounds. Bear with me. Mm-hmm. And there's some drinking sounds for you. Well, surprisingly sweet. I was hoping for a less sweet drink, and I got something very... Listen, I'm not enjoying it, but that's fine. It's fluids. It puts moisture on the tone. Okay, where are we at for time? We are well past our time to start reading stories, aren't we? So let's do that. Enjoy that sound. That's better. Okay. So we have East of the Sun and West of the Moon. And that is from the famous one that, as you know, I often struggle to hear if you've listened to my shows before, Ospounson. I think I almost said that right. Ospounson and Moe. Yeah, and that's from the book East of the Sun and West of the Moon and Other Tales. So let's begin. Once on a time, there was a poor husbandman who had so many children that he hadn't much of either food or clothing to give them. Pretty children they all were, but the prettiest was the youngest daughter, who was so lovely that there was no end to her loveliness. So one day, 'twas on a Thursday evening, late on the fall of the year, the weather was so wild and rough outside, and it was so cruelly dark, and the rain fell and wind blew, till the walls of the cottage shook again. There they all sat round the fire, busy with this thing and that. But just then, all at once, something gave three taps on the window pane. Then the father went out to see what was the matter. And when he got out of the doors, what should he see but a great big white bear?
"Good evening to you," said the white bear.
"The same to you," said the man.
"Will you give me your youngest daughter? If you will, it will make her rich as you are now poor," said the bear.
Well, the man would not be at all sorry to be so rich, but still he thought he must have a bit of a talk with his daughter first. So he went in and told them how there was a great white bear waiting outside, who had given his word to make them so rich if he could only have the youngest daughter. The lassie said, "No," outright. I don't blame her. Little side story there. Nothing could get her to say anything else. So the man went out and settled it with the white bear that he should come again next Thursday evening and get an answer. Meantime, he talked his daughter over. Talked his daughter over and kept on telling her of all the riches that they would get and how well off she would be herself. And so at last she thought better of it and washed and mended her rags, made herself as smart as she could, and was ready to start. I can't say her packaging gave her much trouble. I think that was packing gave her much trouble. Next Thursday evening came the white bear to fetch her, and she got upon his back with her bundle, and off they went. So, when they had gone a bit off the way, the white bear said,
"Are you afraid?"
No, she wasn't.
"Well, mind and hold tight by my shaggy coat, and then there's nothing to fear."
said the bear. So she rode a long, long way, till they came to a great steep hill. There, on the face of it, the white bear gave a knock, and the door opened. And they came into a castle, where there were many rooms all lit up, rooms gleaming with silver and gold, and there, too, was a table ready laid. And it was all as grand could be. Then the white bear gave her a silver bell, and when she wanted anything, she would only to ring it, and she would get it at once. Well, after she had eaten and drunk, and evening wore on, she got sleepy after her journey, and thought she would like to go to bed. So she rang the bell, and she had scarce taken hold of it before she came into a chamber, where there was a bed made, as fair and white as anyone would wish to sleep in, with silken pillows and curtains and gold fringe. All that was in the room was gold or silver, but when she had gone to bed and put out the light, a man came and laid himself alongside her. That was the white bear, who threw off his beast shape at night, but she never saw him, for he always came after she put out the light, and before the day dawned, he was up and off again. So things went on happily for a while, but at last she began to get silent and sorrowful. For she went about all day alone, and she longed to go home to see her father and mother and brothers and sisters. So one day, when the white bear asked what it was that she lacked, she said it was so dull and lonely there, and how she longed to go home to see her father and mother and brothers and sisters, and that that was why she was so sad and sorrowful, because she couldn't get to them. Well, well, said the bear, perhaps there's a cure for all this. But you must promise me one thing, not to talk alone about with your mother, but only when the rest are by to hear. For she'll take by the hand and try to lead you into a room along to talk. But you must mind and do not, else she'll bring bad luck on both of us. So on Sunday, the white bear came and said, now they could set off to see her father and mother. Well, off they started, she sitting on his back, and they went far and long, as last they came to a grand house. There her brother and sisters were running about out of doors at the play, and everything was so pretty, it was a joy to see.
This is where your father and mother now live, said the white bear. But don't forget what I told you, else you'll make us both unlucky.
No, bless her, she'll never forget. And when she had reached the house, the white bear turned right about and left her. Then, when she went in to see her father and mother, there was such joy, there was no end to it. None of them thought they could thank her enough for all she had done for them. Now they had everything they wished, as good as it could be, and they all wanted to know how she got on where she lived. Well, she said it was very good to live where she did. She had all she wished. What she said besides, I don't know, but I don't think any of them had the right end of the stick, or that they got much out of her. But so, in the afternoon, after they had done dinner, all happened as the white bear had said. Her mother wanted to talk to her alone in her bedroom, but she minded what the white bear had said. I wouldn't go upstairs. Oh, what we have to talk about we'll keep, she said, and put her mother off. But somehow or another, her mother got round her at last, and she had to tell her the whole story. So she said how every night when she had gone to bed, a man came and lay down beside her as soon as she had put out the light, and how she had never saw him, because he was always up and away before the morning dawned, and how she went about woeful and sorrow, for she thought she should be like to see him, and how all day long she walked about there alone, and how dull and dreary and lonesome it was. My, said her mother, it may well be a troll you sleep with, but now I'll teach you a lesson how to set eyes on him. I'll give you a bit of a candle, which you can carry home in your bosom, just like the while he is asleep. Just light it while he's asleep, but take care not to drop the tallow on him. Yes, she took the candle and hid it in her bosom, and as the night drew on, the white bear came and fetched her away. But when they had gone a bit of the way, the white bear asked if all happened as he had said. Well, she couldn't say it happened. Now mind, he said, if you have listened to your mother's advice, you have brought bad luck on us both, and then all that has passed between us will be as nothing. No, she said, she hadn't listened to her mother's advice. So when she reached home and had gone to bed, it was the old story over again. There came a man and lay down beside her, but at dead of night, when she heard he slept, she got up and struck a light, lit the candle, and let the light shine on him. And so she saw that he was the loveliest prince one ever set eyes on. And she fell so deep in love with him on the spot that she thought she couldn't live if she didn't give him a kiss there and then. And so she did. But as she kissed him, she dropped 3 hot drops of tallow on his shirt, and he woke up. What have you done? He cried. Now you have made us both unlucky, for you have held out only this 1 year. I have been freed, for I have a stepmother who bewitched me so that I am a white bear by day and a man at night. But now all lies are snapped between us, lines, ties are snapped between us. Now I must set off from you to her. She lives in a castle which stands east of the sun and west of the moon. And there, too, is a princess with a nose 3 ells long, and she's the wife I must have now. She wept and took it ill, but there was no help for it. Go he must. Then she asked if she mightn't go with him. No, she mightn't. Tell me the way, then, she said. I'll search you out. That surely I get to leave to be done. Yes, she might do that, he said, but there was no way to that place. It lay east of the sun and west of the moon, and neither she'd never find her way. So the next morning, when she woke up, both prince and castle were gone. And then she lay on a little green patch in the midst of the gloomy thick wood. But her side lay the same bundle of rags she had brought with her from her old home. So when she had rubbed the sleep out of her eyes and wept till she was tired, she set out on her way and walked many, many days till she came to a lofty crag. Under it sat an old hag and played with an old apple which she tossed about. Her, the lassie, asked if she knew the way to the prince, who lived with his stepmother in the castle that lay east of the sun and west of the moon, and who was to marry the princess with the nose 3 ells long.
How did you come to know him? Asked the old hag. But maybe you are the lassie who ought to have had him?
Yes, she was.
So it's you, is it?
Said the old hag.
Well, all I know about him is that he lives in the castle that lives east of the sun and west of the moon, and thither you'll come, late or never. But still you may have the loan of my horse, and on him you can ride to my next neighbor. Maybe she'll be able to help you. And when you get there, just give a horse a switch under the left ear and beg him to be off home and stay. This gold apple you may take with you.
So she got upon the horse and rode a long, long time, till she came to another crag, under which she sat another old hag with an old carding comb. Here the lassie asked if she knew the way to the castle that lay east of the sun and west of the moon, and she answered, like the first hag, that she knew nothing about it, except it was east of the sun and west of the moon. and thither you'll come, late or never, but you shall have the loan of my horse to my next neighbour. Maybe they'll tell you all about it, and when you get there, they'll switch the horse under the left ear and beg him to be off home.
And this old hag gave her the golden carding comb. It might be she'd find some use for it, she said. So the lassie got upon the horse and rode a far, far way and a weary time. And so at last she came to another great craig, under which she sat another hag, spinning with a golden spinning wheel. Here, too, she asked if she knew the way to the prince and where the castle was and lay east of the sun and west of the moon. So it was the same thing over again.
Maybe it's you who ought to have been the prince, said the old hag.
Yes, it was. But she, too, didn't know the way a bit better than the other two. East of the sun and west of the moon it was, she knew. That was all.
And thither you'll come, late or never, but I'll lend you my horse, and when I think you're best ride to the east and wind, and ask him. Maybe he knows those parts and get blow you thither. But when you get to him, you'll need only give the horse a switch under the left ear, and he'll trot home of himself.
And so, too, she gave her the gold spinning wheel.
Maybe you'll find a use for it, said the old hag.
Then she rode many, many days, a weary time, before she got East Wind's house. But at last she did reach it, and then she asked the East Wind if he could tell her the way to the prince, who dwelt east of the sun and west of the moon. Yes, the East Wind had often heard tell of it, the prince in the castle, but he couldn't tell the way, for he had never blown so far.
But if you wish, I will go with you to my brother the West Wind. Maybe he knows, for he is much stronger. So, if you will, just get on my back, I'll carry you thither.
Yes, she got on his back, and I just think they went briskly along. So when they got there, they went into the West Wind's house, and the East Wind said the lassie had brought with was the one who ought to have been with the prince who lived in the castle, east of the sun and west of the moon. And so she set out to seek him, and how had he come to with her, and would he be glad to know if the West Wind knew how to get to the castle?
Nay, said the West Wind, so far I've never blown. But if you will, I'll go with you to your brother, the South Wind, for he's much stronger than either of us. He has flapped his wings far and wide. Maybe he'll tell you. You get on my back, and I'll carry you to him.
Yes, she got on his back, and so they travelled to the South Wind, and weren't so very long on the way, I should think. When they got there, the West Wind asked him if he could tell her the way to the castle that lay east of the sun and west of the moon, for it was she who ought to have had the prince who lived there.
So you don't say so? That she it is,
said the South Wind.
Well, I have blistered about in most places in my lifetime, but so far I have never blown. But if you will, I'll take you to my brother, the North Wind. He is the oldest and strongest of the whole lot of us. And if he doesn't know where he is, you'll never find anyone in the world to tell you. You get on my back, and I'll carry you thither.
Yes, she got on his back, and away he went at a fine rate. And this time, too, she wasn't long on her way. So when she got up to the North Wind's house, he was so wild and cross, cold puffs came out of him a long way off.
Blast you both! What do you want?
he roared out at them ever so far off, so that it struck them with an icy shiver.
"Well," said the South Wind, "you needn't to be so very nasty, for here I am, your brother, the South Wind, and here is the lassie who ought to have had the prince, who dwells in the castle that lies east of the sun and west of the moon. And now she wants to ask you if you ever were there, and could tell her the way, for she would be so glad, yes, to help him find him again."
"Yes, I know well enough where it is," said the North Wind. "Once in my life I blew upon aspen leaf thither, but I was so tired I could have blown a puff for ever so many days. But if you really wish to go thither, and you aren't afraid to come along with me, I'll take you to my back and see if I can blow you thither."
Yes, with all her heart, she must and would get thither if it were possible in either way. And as for fear, however madly he went, she wouldn't be at all afraid.
"Very well, then," said the North Wind. "But you must sleep here tonight, for we must have the whole day before us if we get thither at all."
Early next morning, the North Wind woke her, and puffed himself up, and blew himself out, and made himself so stout and big. 'Twas gruesome to look at him, and so off they went high up through the air, as if they would never stop till they got to the world's end. Down here below there was such a storm, it threw down long tracts of wood and many houses, and when it swept over the great sea, ships foundered by hundreds. So they tore on and on. No one can believe how far they went, and all the while they still went over the sea. The sea. Over the sea. Early the next morning, down here, they tore on and on. No one ever believed how far they went. And all the while, they still went over the sea. And the North Wind got more and more weary. And so, out of the breath, he could scarce bring out a puff. And his wings drooped and drooped, till at last he sank so low that the crests of the waves dashed over his head.
"Are you afraid?"
said the North Wind. No. She wasn't. But then, they weren't very far from land, and the North Wind had still so much strength left in him that he managed to throw her up on the shore until the windows of the castle, which lay east of the sun and west of the moon. But then he was so weak and worn out, he had to stay there and rest many days before he could get home again. Next morning, the lassie sat down under the castle window and began to play with the gold apple. And the first person she saw was the Long Nose, who was to have the prince.
"But what do you want your gold apple, you lassie?"
said the Long Nose, and threw out the window.
"It's not for sale, for gold or money," said the lassie. "If it's not for sale, for gold or money, what is it for you will sell it for? You may name your own price,"
said the princess.
"Well, if I may get to the prince, who lives here, and be with him tonight, you shall have it,"
said the lassie to whom the North Wind had brought. Yes, she might. That she could be done. So the princess got the gold apple. But when the lassie came up to the prince's bedroom, at night he was fast asleep. She called him and shook him, and between whiles she wept sore. But all she could do, she couldn't wake him up. The next morning, as soon as the day broke, came the princess with the Long Nose and drove her out again. That brings us now to the middle of the program, where we need to say that you are listening to CICK Smithers Community Radio. And of course, we're doing our membership drive. So this is also the time, if you would like, to give us a call at our phone, which is 250-847-8769. And let's give a shout out to Bulkley Valley Farmers Market, because hey, they're happening right now. Come on down, support your local vendors. And I am the River Wild, and you are listening to this program, which is called, I forget, the River Reed Show. And now back to your normal programming. So, in the daytime, she sat down under the castle windows and began to card with her carding comb. And the same thing happened. The princess asked what she wanted for it, and she said it wasn't for sale, for gold or money, but that she might get leave to go up to the prince and be with him for that night. The princess should have it, but when she went up, she found him fast asleep again, and all she called, and all she shook and wept and prayed, she couldn't get life into him. And as soon as the first gray peep of day came, then came the princess with the long nose and chased her out again. So, in the daytime, the lassie sat down outside under the castle window and began to spin with a golden spinning wheel, and that, too, the princess with the long nose wanted to have. So she threw up the window and asked what she wanted it for. The lassie said that she said twice before it wasn't for sale for gold or money, but if she might go up to the prince, who was there, and be with him alone that night, she might have it. Yes, she might do that, and welcome. And now she must know that there were some Christian folk who had been carried off thither. And as she sat in their room, which was next to the prince, they had heard how a woman had been in there and wept and prayed and called to him two nights running. And they told that to the prince. That evening, when the princess came with her sleepy drink, and the prince, as he drank, he threw it over his shoulder, for he could guess it was a sleepy drink. So, when the lassie came in, she found the prince wide awake, and then she told him the whole story, how she came to thither. "Ah," said the prince, "you've just come in the very nick of time, for tomorrow it be our wedding day, but now I have the long nose. You are the only woman in the world who can set me free. I'll say I want to see what my wife is fit for, and beg her to wash the shirts which have the three spots of tallow on it. She'll say yes, for she doesn't know 'tis you who put them there, but that's a work only for Christian folk, not for such a pack of trolls, and so I'll say that I won't have any other for any bride than the woman who can wash them out, and ask you to do it." So there was great joy and love between them all that night. By next day, when the wedding was to be, the prince said, "First of all, I'd like to see what my bride is fit for."
"Yes," said the stepmother with all her heart.
"Well," said the prince, "I've got a fine shirt which I'd like for my wedding shirt, but somehow or another it's got these three spots of tallow on it, which I must have washed out, and I have sworn never to take any other bride than the woman who's able to do that. If she can't, she's not worthy having." Well, that was no great thing, they said. So they agreed, and she, with the long nose, began to wash away as hard as she could. But the more she rubbed and scrubbed, the bigger the spot grew.
"Ow!" said the old hag, her mother. "You can't wash, let me try."
But she hadn't taken long the shirt in her hand before it got far worse than ever, and with all her rubbing and wringing and scrubbing, and the spots grew bigger and blacker and darker and uglier was the shirt. Then all the other trolls began to wash, but the longer it lasted, the blacker and uglier the shirt grew, till at last it was all black all over, and it has been up in the chimney.
"Ah," said the prince, "you've none of your worst straw. You can't wash.
Why, there outside sits a beggar lassie. I'll be bound she knows how to wash better than a lot of you. Come in, lassie," he shouted. Well, in she came. "Can you wash this shirt clean, lassie, you?" he said.
"I don't know," she said, but I think I can."
And almost before she had taken it and dipped it into the water, It was as white as driven snow, and whiter still.
Yes, you are the lassie for me, said the prince.
At that, the old hag flew into such a rage, she burst on the spot. Pah! And the princess with the long nose after her, and the whole pack of trolls after her. Pah, pah, pah. At last, I'd never heard a word about them since. As for the prince and princess, they are set free. All the poor Christian folk who had been carried off and shut up there. And they took them all, the silver and the gold, and flinted away as far as they could from the castle that lay east of the sun and west of the moon.
Yeah, we go into red with that one. All right, I was going to take a little read and break, and we're going to listen to this another story. Yes, so this one... Oh, it is up. It wasn't. That is lies. It is now up. And we could go up even more, I think, if need be. All right. So here we go. This is a pre-recorded. Hopefully it'll work out and there's not something weird going on. We're going to press play and see what happens here.
The Pink from Grimm's Fairy Tales. There once was a queen who had not been blessed with children. She prayed every morning as she walked in her garden that a son or daughter might be given to her. Then one day an angel came and said to her, "Be content. You shall have a son, and he shall be endowed with the power of wishing, so that whatever he wishes for shall be granted to him." She hurried to the king and told him the joyful news. When the time came, a son was born to them, and they were filled with delight. Every morning the queen used to take her little son into the garden where the wild animals were kept, to bathe him in a clear, sparkling fountain. It happened one day, when the child was a little older, that she sat down with him on her lap. She fell asleep. The old cook, who knew what the child had the power of wishing, came by and stole it. He also killed a chicken and dropped some of its blood on the queen's garments. Then he took the child away to a secret place where he placed it out to be nursed. Then he ran back to the king and accused the queen of having allowed her child to be carried off by a wild animal. When the king saw the blood on the queen's garments, he believed the story and was overwhelmed with anger. He caused a high tower to be built, into which neither the sun nor the moon could penetrate. Then he ordered his wife to be shut up in it, and the door walled up. She was there to stay for 7 years without eating or drinking, so she would gradually pine away. But two angels from heaven, in the shape of white doves, came to her, bringing food twice a day till the 7 years were ended. Meanwhile, the cook thought,
"If the child really has the power of wishing, and I stay here, I might easily fall in disgrace."
So he left the palace and went to the boy, who was old enough to talk, and said to him,
"Wish for a beautiful castle with a garden and everything beautiful in it."
Hardly had the words passed the boy's lips than all that he had asked for was there. After a time, the cook said,
"It is not good for you to be so much alone. Wish for a beautiful maiden to be your companion."
The prince uttered the wish, and immediately a maiden stood before them, more beautiful than any painter could paint. So they grew very fond of each other and played together, while the old cook went out hunting like any grand gentleman. But the idea came to him one day that the prince might wish to go to his father sometime, and he would thereby be placed in a very awkward position. So he took the maiden aside and said to her,
"Tonight, when the boy is asleep, go and drive this knife into his heart. Then bring me his heart and his tongue. If you fail to do it, you will lose your own life."
Then he went away. But when the next day came, the maiden had not yet obeyed his command. She said, "Why should I shed his innocent blood when he has never done harm to any creature in his life?" The cook again said,
If you do not obey me, you will lose your own life.
When he was gone away, she ordered a young kine to be brought and killed. Then she cut off out its heart and its tongue and put them on a dish. When she saw the old man coming, she said to the boy, "Get into bed and cover yourself completely." The old scoundrel came in and said,
"Where are the tongue and the heart of the boy?"
The maiden gave him the dish, but the prince threw off the coverings and said, "You old sinner, why did you want to kill me? Now hear your sentence. You shall be turned into a black poodle with a gold chain round your neck, and you shall be made to eat live coals, so the flames of fire will come out of your mouth." As he said the words, the old man was changed into a black poodle with a gold chain round his neck, and the scullions brought live coals, which he had to eat till the flames poured out of his mouth. The prince stayed on at the castle for a time, thinking of his mother, wondering if she were still alive. At last he said to his maiden, "I'm going to my own country. If you'd like to come, you can go with me. I will take you." She answered, "Alas, it is so far off, and what would I do in a strange country where I know no one?" As she did not wish to go, and yet they could not bear to be parted, he changed her into a beautiful pink, which he took with him. Then he set out on his journey, and the poodle was made to run alongside till the prince reached his own courtyard. Country. There he went straight to the tower where his mother was imprisoned, and as the tower was so very high, he wished for a ladder to reach the top. Then he climbed up, looked in, and cried, "Dearest mother, lady queen, are you still alive?" She, thinking it was the angels who brought her food, said, "I just have eaten. I do not want anything more." Then he said, "I am your own dear son, whom the wild animals were supposed to have devoured. But I am still alive, and I shall soon come and rescue you." Then he got down and went to his father. He had himself announced as a strange huntsman, anxious to take service with the king. The king said,
"Yes, if he is skilled to game preserving, he can procure plenty of venison. I will engage him, but there has never before been any game in the whole district."
The huntsman promised to procure as much game as the king could possibly require for the royal table. Then he called the whole hunt together and ordered them all to come into the forest with him. He caused a great circle to be enclosed with only one outlet. Then he took his place in the middle and began to wish as hard as he could. Immediately, over 200 head of game came running into the enclosure. These the huntsmen had to shoot, and they then were piled onto 60 county wagons and driven home to the king. So for once he was able to load his board with game, after having had none for so many years. The king was much pleased and commanded his whole court to a banquet on the following day. When they were all assembled, he said to the huntsmen,
"You shall sit by me, because you are so clever."
He answered, "My lord and king, may it please your majesty, I am only a poor huntsman." The king, however, insisted and said,
"I command you to sit by me."
As he sat there, his thoughts wandered to his dear mother, and he wished one of the courtiers would speak of her. Hardly had he wished it than the Lord High Marshal said,
"Your majesty, we are all rejoicing here. How fares it with her majesty, the queen? Is she still alive in the tower, or has she perished?"
But the king answered,
"She allowed my beloved son to be devoured by wild animals, and I do not wish to hear anything about her."
Then the huntsman stood up and said, "Gracious father, she is still alive, and I am your son. I do not devour by wild, was not devoured by wild animals, but I was taken away by the scoundrel of a cook. He stole me while my mother was asleep and sprinkled her garment with the blood of the chicken." Then
He brought up the black poodle with the golden chain and said, "This is the villain!" He ordered some live coals to be brought, which made the dog eat in the sight of all the people till the flames poured out of his mouth. Then he asked the king if he would like to see the cook in his true shape and wished him back. And there he stood in his white apron with his knife at his side. The king was furious when he saw him and ordered him to be thrown into the deepest dungeon. Then the huntsman said further, "My father, would you like to see the maiden who so tenderly saved my life when she was ordered to kill me, although by doing so she might have lost her own life?" The king answered, "Yes, I will gladly see her." Then his son said, "Gracious father, I will show her to you first in the guise of a beautiful flower." He put his hand into his pocket and brought out the pink. It was a finer one than the king had ever seen before. Then his son said, "Now I will show her to you in her true form." The moment his wish was uttered, she stood before them all in her beauty, which was greater than any artist could paint. The king sent ladies and gentlemen in waiting to the tower to bring the queen back to her royal table. But when they reached the tower, they found that she would no longer eat or drink. She said, "The merciful God, who has preserved my life for so long, will soon release me now." 3 days afterwards, she died. At her burial, the two white doves, which had brought her food during her captivity, followed and hovered over her grave. The old king caused the wicked cook to turn into four quarters, but his own heart was filled with grief and remorse, and died soon after. His son married the beautiful maiden he had brought home with him as a flower, and for all I know, they may still be living.
Ho, 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 there we are, we're back. Oh, making the sounds that I wasn't wanting to make. All right, so I think that's going to be kind of it for our story time, because truthfully I don't have much voice left for reading, but it's actually, I just don't know what story to read, and I don't really want to cut a story off in the middle of the line, so we're gonna do a bit of a river ramble. A little bit of River Rambles on our way out. So, of course, you're listening to the special programming. This is 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio, CICK, and this is the River Reed Show. I am your host, River Wild, in studio with my sibling, Megan. And, you know, hey, membership drive week, it has officially launched. We want your money. And I'm happy to say we have already sold 4 members, so we have just won $100. Well, I guess we didn't win it.
We've won.
It feels like it. Happy birthday, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and woo. All those. There we go. Say them all. So yeah, so membership drive week is June 24th to 30th, as Meg was saying earlier. We'll be wrapping it up around the Midsummer Festival. Come on down. We're going to have tables with patches and stamping. I'm doing gestures with my hands that you can't see. But yeah, so there's going to be membership stamping, like how we've done it in the past, where you can bring down your items or you can bring down your previous CICK swag, and you can add this year's membership logo.
Yeah, emblem.
Emblem thingamabiggy. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have it's called stamping table. So yeah, we'll be stamping fabrics. So there, and you can buy your membership, just come and hang out. We'll be looking at sweepers, also recently known as swampers.
Swampers.
Get your swamper in, everybody. Shout out to Vina for that one. I will now be able to remember sweepers, because they said swampers, and I was like, that is what it should be called, is a swamper, but the sweepers. So that's when we get to have your voice on the radio. You get to be like, hello, I am bleep bleep blue, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio. Just getting my wind voice in. So where are we at, Meg, for time? We're looking pretty close.
We got like
4 minutes?
3 minutes, something
is
like that.
Is it three, four? Who knows?
Oh, who knows anymore? We're making up our own rules.
We're just making up the rules. So, yeah, I mean, we have our membership perks. Do we talk about that? There's going to be event discounts and exclusive parties. You can win tickets to events. But by events, these aren't even just CICK events. Whenever tickets are donated to the station, which could be some amazing rock and roll. Is rock and roll hip these days?
Glenn just won an award for best rock and roll program.
Hey, oh, that's right. Oh, just so you guys know how amazing the station is doing and why we really deserve support. We have been winning intergalactic. We have been winning national awards across country. Awards. We just actually came back from our radio conference where 7 of CICK members and board members and staff were able to go and attend this, and we get to rub elbows with community and local radios and campus radios across the country. And it ends with this big reward, and we actually won 3 awards. Boop, boop. So, I mean, hey, guys. Some amazing fun stuff here. We also have, we received, one of our programmers was greatly involved in initiating some really amazing modules to help older adults kind of access programming and things like that. And so we also have a national information that we've been able to disseminate out there, and maybe we'll be able to put some of those modules. They're on audio as well. You can read them, but there's also audio. We might make some programming out of those. So that, again, is a shout out to Christine Bruce for helping put that together with one of her other fellow members that was helping her work with that. Is it Ron?
Nope.
Rob.
Albie.
Making up names. Just making up the names. So that's Albie and Christine did an amazing job. It really focuses on kind of ways to help people get involved. And of course, this year's swag. Let's take a moment to talk about this year's swag. We always try to come up with our unique swag each year, something that is rare and desirable. And this year, we got really excited because we are not only supporting local, we are also getting to provide a cuteness to this. So it's feeling pretty classy. We got a pretty classy package going here. You have your bumper stickers, which your members only exclusive bumper stickers. We have our big sticker that you get to place wherever you want. And this year you get to have honey from Hive and Honey.
BB Hive and Honey.
And that has also our own little sticker on it too. So it's just, you get this little jar and just get to have that, as well as just really helping amazing programming and support. And I'm looking at our time right now, and we're winding it down.
Maybe one last sponsor. Tell them who we are and say goodbye.
So yeah, this is Smithers Community Radio and it's 93.9 FM. A big shout out to Bulkley Valley
Farmers Market.
Farmers Market again. Let's do that one. They're right out my window. That's easy to remember. Again, if you haven't come on down and support your local vendors. I've been River Wild in here with Megan Brady, and shout out, thank you.
This is CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio.